Major Shepherd, Real 2.
Having an identity card, I find myself very free of getting about in France. And I thought Reverend Karski was a bit long in decided and organizing the trip back home, which was, on my behalf, quite a mistake. The poor man was doing very well his job, but I was young, very impatient, and I thought I could try myself. So I told the Reverend Karski, look, I'm going to try myself. And being a very good man and understanding the young people, he said, well, why not? You try. There's no risk. You can always try if you want. And I'm still wondering today if he knew I was going to miss or not. Anyway, I went, took the train and went to Perpignan. I got a contact in Perpignan to go over the border, and I thought, well, if I go over the border, I go to Barcelona and so on, find myself through. I was a very active young man. I got the contact in Perpignan, and the evening I was going to get in touch with the supposed to be person who would find me a man going over the border. I was arrested by the French police, who asked me what I was doing here, and I tried to get away in talking business, but I didn't realize I was still a young boy, and it didn't work with the police, obviously. For the first time, then, I enter a prison in Perpignan. It was my first contact with the prison, which was not a real prison, in fact. It was a sort of police station room, and I stayed there nearly a week with drunkards, Spanish Republicans fighting each other in the cell. It was a really, just imagine a young boy out of school, well brought up, having lived with his family quietly, and suddenly I find myself in this incredible crowd of unknown person to me. Never lived like that. And, well, it's probably part of my character. I got used to it very easily. I was very friendly with everybody. They were all very nice to me. And one girl, a sort of nurse, I think, was looking after prisoners, and she came to this prison and saw me, and she said, what are you doing here? She was very, very kind, and I explained to her, and she said, oh, you shouldn't say things like that quite openly, because I told her, well, I'm here because I was trying to get through Spain and go back home. Then she said, well, you be very careful, don't tell that too much to the police, but I understand. And she said, maybe one day I'll try and do the same as you do. Said, all right. And the next day she brought me a piece of cheese and a liter of wine, this very thick, heavy wine of the south of France. And I was very hungry. That was the worst part of it. And I drank this bottle of wine during the day. And at the end of the day, I'd never been drunk before, and I think I've very hardly been drunk after. No, I don't think I've been. I suddenly realized that for the first time in my life, I had drank too much, and I was really drunk in the cell. It was quite an experience. And very amusing enough, this young girl I met a year later in Trafalgar Square. She done it, and we met in Trafalgar Square by appointment, because I said, if I go back home, this is my address, this is the telephone number. No, I had no telephone number at the time, but my address. And when she arrived in London, she rang me and said, yeah, do you remember the nurse in Perpignan? Yes, here I am. And we met in Trafalgar Square. We had a lunch or Yes, we had a lunch, a drink, and I got, at the time I was in the SOE schools, and she was in the Free French Forces, and we were very happy to see each other, very two young student meeting, yeah? And she went back to her unit, and I went back to mine, and I don't know what happened to her after, we never met again. But it's amusing to see how the contacts may remain. So one day, the Perpignan police said, "You're going back to Marseille," and two gendarmes arrived, handcuffs, and again, new experience for the first time at the age of 18. I was just 18 now. I was 18 on the 1st of March. So I was just 18. I walked through the streets of Perpignan, handcuffs with two gendarmes. And I must say that it is a strange feeling. You are suddenly not the same person, not only for yourself, but for the outside. The way people are looking at you is totally different. They don't know who you are, why you are handcuffed, but you are already someone out of their normal way of living. There's a sort of I was my surprised because at this period, people could have think, "Oh, it's maybe a young chap, especially in this area, who's trying to escape, he's trying." No, you are immediately someone wrong. I saw that in the train going to Marseille. I saw that in the streets, everybody looking. It's a very strange feeling. And it was my first contact with the gendarmes, with handcuffs, and with the population looking at you on a strange way. Not always nice, in fact. Arrived in Marseille, and arriving in the Marseille station, the gendarme unlocked my handcuffs and said, "Now go back to your address." And I was free. I went back to Reverend Karski, who had a very nice smile, and said, "Ah, here you are back." And I said, "Yes, Father. And now I'll wait for your orders." And after that, the organization went on, and one evening we were about four or five together. We took the train to Perpignan. There in Perpignan, someone, I don't remember who, was waiting for us. We crossed the Spanish border during the night. It took us 2 days, in fact, to cross the Spanish border. And I had then a wonderful feeling. The first night in Spain, just imagine 1939, 1940, occupied France, Vichy France. Arrested by the gendarmes, and suddenly I was over the border. For a while, I forgot about Franco's and the Spanish problems. I was over the border in a non-occupied country, a country outside of the war, or supposed to be outside of the war, and I was free. We had walked the whole day in the mountains, and we find ourselves in Spain.
Do you remember who your companions were?
One I remember, because he had a very poor end, a poor chap. He was a young man of the north of France, about my age and same life. And he amused me very much because I wanted to join the RAF because I thought it was a nice looking uniform, I expect. And it was known for the young man, the RAF or something. And his aim, which always amused me, was to join, and I don't know why, was to join the military police. He just wanted to be a military police, and always find it very funny. I remember him because of that, and because he had a frightful misfortune. He was put on board a ship with his family. He was from Barcelona. Instead of going through the way I'll explain you later, he went to Portugal. He was on board a ship. Yes, I remember why, because he was to meet his mother and two sisters who were already in Portugal, so he wanted to join them. He met his family and so on. I heard that when at the British Embassy, Madrid, later on. And they boarded the ship, and they were all sunk during the second night of their trip and disappeared. I think I certainly remember him because he was a very nice man. He had this amusing thing of joining the military police. And here we are. His war ended up with mother, two sisters, and himself sunk. It's one of the first very sad news of my war, in fact. Now, where was I?
You were free in Spain.
And free in Spain. And
for how long?
This is the stupid part of my experience, you'll see. But the second night in Spain, we were four or five with this chap. And, a few hours before, we didn't know we were in Spain, and we saw a peasant. And I went and asked him the way to Spain, and he said, aquí, España. We jumped on him. It was extraordinary for us. We were in Spain. We didn't know we were in Spain, and we were free, or we thought we were. And the evening arrived. We had a few fruits given by this peasant, and the guide had left us at the border, and we were to go to Barcelona, take a train and go to Barcelona. We saw a beautiful green field, a tree. It was nightfall, end of March was probably, 8 o'clock, something like that. And we decided not to go further. And I slept an extraordinary night through. I had a few fruits. I laid on the grass. I saw the sky. We were free. No one could say anything. It was an extraordinary experience of freedom. The grass, the sky, it was floating in the air. And the next morning, there was a little river. We washed ourselves in the river. I can see the scene, a little stone, all very old stone bridge, very 15th century type of arch. We washed, everything was nice. We walked on the road down to the first town to pick up the train, and we saw a little bus. And what do you do when you see a bus? There was a few girls at the window, the driver, crowd of peasant. We waved good morning to all of them. The people in the bus waved back, and the bus stopped, and two gendarmes, Spanish gendarmes, came out of the bus.
Guardia Civil.
Guardia Civil, with their little typewriter on the head. documentación. Nada. Vamos. And we were arrested in Spain the next morning. We went to a little village with no prison. It was really very little thing. They locked us into a, I think it was a sheep stable or something like that, the whole day. And the next, we had a soup, and the next day we were taken to Lerida by train, handcuffed with the Guardia Civil, without knowing at all what was going to happen to us. The only thing we were told by Karski before leaving, when you are in Spain, forget entirely about France, destroy your French documents, you are English. And this for a very good reason. The Spanish regulation was such, all foreign person arrested in Spain during this period was to be sent back to its own country. And many Frenchmen, or many, not so many escaped, but the Frenchmen who escaped, arrested with French paper, were sent back to France, arrested with British paper, or without papers, saying, we are British, were sent back to England, that is, to Gibraltar. And we didn't know exactly at the time that was going to happen. It took a few months. But in fact, there was for us no risk whatsoever. The only thing was to be patient. We were told, do not try to escape or anything. Be patient. You will be brought from prison to prison, finally to Gibraltar, expulsed. It only took the time for the Spaniards to be confirmed the nationality of the arrested person. And the British consul in Barcelona and the British embassy in Madrid were, of course, very up to date to this. Any inquiries asking if this and this is a British subject or a Canadian, most of the French said, I'm a Canadian, because they couldn't speak English, but they were French, they were all French-Canadian. The answer was always yes, and they were expulsed, we were expulsed to Gibraltar. But before being expulsed, I went to the Lerida prison, Saragossa prison, which is quite a very rough and tough experience, Saragossa prison. Lerida also, for other reasons, it was a very miserable place. It was an ex-convent, and very dirty, awful.
What was so tough about Saragossa?
Saragossa was the prison where most of the Spanish Republicans were arrested. And at the time, it was 41, there was still daily morning execution. And, of course, we didn't risk anything, but we were living this awful situation in a prison where everybody knows each other, walking in the prison and so on. Saragossa was built like, I imagine, Sing Sing, with no walls but railings, and very electric lights. It is an awful impression. And on top of that, the awful evenings of the Spanish talking to each other and saying goodbye because they didn't know if they were going to be shot the next morning. And the awful sounds of the doors being open, the railings open, and every morning, one, two, or three Spaniards. It was very short after the war, 41, being taken out and shot. It is my really first contact with the real atrocities, physically and morally, of the war. And after Saragossa, we went to the famous Spanish concentration camp of Miranda del Ebro, where I had the pleasure of meeting my old friend Tony Brooks of the SOE. And
what impact did he make on you at first?
Pardon?
What impact did he make on you at first?
Oh, I think the same impact he made on everybody. A very cheerful man, very active, at the time very young. I think we were practically the same age. He's maybe a year older than I am. Very strong, very a good man, very yes, a very active British person, I think. Very nice man. We really got together. It was a team in the Miranda del Ebro. There, it was at the time I thought it was a frightful camp, but now with the experience of other camps we'll talk about later on, well, it was a small concentration camp. We worked a few days. They were not allowed to make us work, but they asked if we were ready to do some jobs, and we accepted, because instead of being doing nothing in the camp, it was not a pro-Spanish work of any sort. It was cleaning the barracks or cleaning the roads and things like that, and it was, for us young men, it was rather nice to do that instead of being sitting in the camp doing nothing, grumbling about the food. The only thing in Miranda del Ebro was the crowd, in a way, and the food. Very, very little food. Spanish beans, there's huge horse beans, thing like that, few potatoes. Really, it was a little starvation. We had contact with the British consul, and we were allowed to talk to the British consul. We explained exactly the administrative situation. Be quiet, everything be all right. We are getting your trip down to Gibraltar. And indeed, one day, we were called to the office. A small party was organized. We took the train in the evening, and the next morning we were in Madrid. And a few minutes later, in the British Embassy in Madrid. Arriving at the British Embassy, the first thing which really amused me now is that we were picked up by a member of the personnel of the embassy, and the first thing they did, they took us to the basement and took all our clothes away. We went to the shower rooms, and we were immediately dressed up in a sort of working trousers and blouse, in order to be clean to enter the embassy. Now, we find it very funny, but it was quite obvious we were out of prison, probably very dirty, and all our those trousers, coats, and so on were taken away, cleaned, and the next day we were really well-dressed again. It was an extremely extraordinary feeling for me. I had fought this little part of my war to join the British army and join my country, in fact, even if my accent is not the accent of my country, it is deeply my country. And here I was in the embassy in Madrid. We were taken to a dining room in the basement, a sort of probably the personal canteen, and served a fantastic, what I thought at the time was a fantastic breakfast. And I still, today, remember this breakfast. And when my wife wants to please me in the evening, I know I have toast and baked beans on toast. It was my first breakfast, my first English breakfast during the war at the British Embassy in Madrid, and sausages and fried eggs and tea. And this was served by a young man who, after the war, worked with me. We worked in the same company together. We really lived together part of our life with our wives and family life. And it is the first time I met him at the British Embassy. He served this breakfast. His name is Christian Motet-Houbigan, and he joined the SOE, French side of the SOE, came back to Paris, never been arrested. Well, after the embassy, we sort of check up on our names, Christian names, potato verse, all the usual check up, and where we wanted to go and what we wanted to do. We were sent to an hotel in Madrid, and we spent a couple of days there, very, very well looked after. After all this experience, which started, in fact, in June 1940 for me, I find myself again in comfort, good food, well looked after, and I thought life was wonderful. Of course, I asked the embassy if it was possible, but I had no contact whatsoever with my family, my father and my mother, and I have a half-brother, French. My mother was married before the war, 14, with a Frenchman who died, and she had a boy. Still alive is my half-brother, and he was also in the French army and arrested, so I had no news from any near member of my family, and it was my point, of course. Then we went by bus, on a small bus, from Madrid to Sevilla, I think we spent the night in Sevilla, and then to Gibraltar, and we arrived one evening in front of the door of Gibraltar. It was really a very, for me and my friends together, it was a very moving moment. We had fought, although it was not useful to the war what we had done, but alone we had fought through, and very often against the opinion of the person we met. I remember in France, why should you do that? Be careful, it's dangerous, and do they really need you? And after all, if you stay in the south of France, Pétain is a good man, and so on. I had so many